From the penpals.buzz corporate headquarters in Northern California, right next to the abandoned beauty salon, it's the Prison Pen Pal Podcast.
It is about time.
Hear stories from real inmates who want to write to you. From free world people who enjoy writing prisoners. And for just about anyone involved in the world of prison pen pals. On today's episode.
You can get your license now on, sooner. You can get your driver's permit sooner. You can get access to the internet sooner. You can get, independent living within, a year and a half.
Now, here's your host of the Prison Pen Pal Podcast, Big Steve.
Ben Alverson, man, it's been a while.
Has been. At least a little over a year, I think, since my last guest.
Yeah, you're like our, we have a couple regulars now. You're like our number one regular guest, because I believe this is now your third episode. We've got a couple guys with two episodes, but Ben Alverson, you're like the OG of the Pen Pal Podcast.
Well, I did jump in at the very beginning when you guys had those the Lifetime special thingy, so I think I'm still hanging in there.
I know you're younger than I am, and you realize that's for my lifetime, not yours.
50 years old? Really? That's
So what's new with you, man? How you been? How's things going there at St. Peter?
Been doing okay. From a legal standpoint, I have my next court date on the 5th. We'll see what happens. But in the interim, what's been happening is that there's been a number of people that have gone straight from inside the perimeter, bypassing the transitions program or CPS, and going straight out to provisional discharge, straight to the street. So I'm hoping that, with all of the low risk scores that I have on the assessments and everything, that'll be, sufficient enough to be like, oh, you know what? He's been out there, he's done some things, he made some connections, and, he hasn't raised his risk. So, let's get him back, his ass back out there. So that would be nice.
Wow. So, the last time we talked, I think it was like you said, a year ago, you're at that, just for people that didn't listen to that, you're at the Civil Commitment Center in St. Peter, Minnesota. But, at that time, I remember we talked about how more people had actually died in that facility than had been released. And then you had mentioned that it's like almost impossible, and you have to go through, like you said, the transition of you could work outside of the perimeter, but not outside of the fence and this stuff. So now it sounds like it's gotten better then. Is that what you're saying?
It has. I think a lot of it has to do with politics. Obviously, it's Minnesota. Minnesota's been in the news with regards to a lot of fraud and, Department of Human Services and, healthcare and things of that nature. So let's put that on the table.
Yeah.
And I think this has been, as it used to be, part of DHS. It kind of falls into that same venue of, there have been some, shall we say, oversight that has not been too pleased with the progress or lack of progress thereof of a lot of the guys that have been in the program. And so they have stepped it up over the last couple of years of moving people forward faster. In addition to that, the guys that are on the street, the provisional discharge guys, have been able to get accessibility to what they call liberties. You can get your license now on, sooner. You can get your driver's permit sooner. You can get access to the internet sooner. You can get, independent living within, a year and a half versus, waiting 2 years to get your thing. So, in addition to that, on that track, one of my good friends, his name is Clarence, he actually was out and completed the entire perimeter. He got out in less than 2 years, had his own house, and got fully discharged. So now there's a timeline where in which, when I talked to you before, there really wasn't a defined line. Now there's like an accelerated part of the program, and there's an end. There's a light to the end of the tunnel, and it's not a train coming at your face.
Right. Is that timeline, Ben? Is that timeline the same for, is it a 2 year thing for everyone, or do they set the timeline person by person?
No, there's no, it's individual. It's individual. There are guys out there that, had a couple of hiccups, got grounded for a little bit, and had to kind of, reset themselves, all that kind of stuff, just like you would on your parole. If you get violated, you kind of get a timeout and you, restart your thing. But my point being is that given the nature of what is at present, one can get done in a very short amount of time in consideration to how long the program itself has been running and how long we've been inside the perimeter or inside the program proper. So 2 years is nothing.
Yeah.
So,
And that's 2 years. Is that 2 years after they're released?
On the street.
Okay. What's the quickest you've seen of someone that enters the St. Peter facility and then leaves? What do you think the fastest time from in to out has been?
Oh, good Lord. Yeah, I am not entirely sure what the fastest time is of when somebody comes into the program and was able to leave. Yeah.
Okay.
It's years. I mean,
yeah.
It's more than 2 years.
More than those 2 years, yeah.
Yeah.
What's kind of the plan? What's the purpose of this particular court date you have?
So there's two court dates. Well, it's not really a court date. There's the special review board, which then makes a recommendation if you move forward or not. And then there's the court appeals panel, or the CAP. And that is where you meet with the three judges, and they determine for sure, whether you move forward or don't. And what that forward looks like can be moving to transitions, the CPS program, which is still on campus but outside the fence, or provisional discharge, which is off campus in the regular public eye, or full discharge. So no matter what step you're going to, you have to go through this process each time you do it.
Okay.
Now, that means the court has the wherewithal to say where you go within that process, but the step-through process can be skipped, as I mentioned. You know, those people have gone right from the perimeter right out to the street, which is great. I have not seen anyone go directly from inside the perimeter to full discharge. That okay. has not happened, mm-hmm. at least not yet.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, I would think that yeah. wouldn't really make any sense. I mean, if they're so concerned to keep people there for so many years, you'd think at least they'd want to give you 6 months or 3 months or a year just to make sure that you're transitioning, right? And I'd be happy as hell, I think, if, okay. But if it's like the thing that bothered me with parole and kind of a lot of stuff you see in California is sort of this, we'll decide, you know, we're not sure when it's going to be, but it'll be at some point. Just keep doing good. And then they keep kind of dangling the carrot. And so it's like, it's really nice to know, okay, it's going to be 2 years or whatever the time is, because then you can actually plan. You can plan your life, you know, for that.
And within that process, I mean, they do encourage people to be more independent, you know, move from getting a bus pass to actually owning your own car, move from, you know, the halfway house or the apartment building that they're part of paying for to owning your own place. I mean, those things are fully encouraged. There's been guys who've gotten married while they've been still on supervision. So, I mean, it's not that the program doesn't want you to do these things. They do. They want you to do it as quickly as humanly possible, given the guidelines that you have to live with under, you know, already.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, it's, yeah. And the mental attitude has really changed. There's been a couple of guys who've decided to cut their bracelet and take off. Well, they've not escaped. They're back and, you know, everything's been taken care of. But what comes out of that is not so much everybody else gets punished. It's that person has to deal with their thing and the program deals with that individually, whereas everybody else, if you're doing fine, they don't look at you sideways as long as you don't give them a reason to. So there's that too. It doesn't come down on everybody because one person, you know, messed up.
Yeah, that's the worst, man. That's like what they do to you in the Army or, you know, on a sports team or something. You have to run laps because Ben screwed up, so now I got to run laps.
Yeah.
Which is like the worst.
Yep.
You go in there and let's say, okay, they say, we're going to put you back into the community. And then from that day, what's a timeline? Is it like we're going to put you back tomorrow? Is it like in 6 months? Do they give you?
The official line is that they've got 10 days in case, you know, anybody has any major issues with you or, you know, you do something crazy and, you know, whacked out. But it can be any time after that 10 days. That can be a couple months, depending on if they have placement. It's really the biggest issue right now. They have a number of places available, but not that many spots, a limited amount of spots available.
Mm.
So until someone moves out and on their own or gets violated, God forbid, you kind of wait until that spot opens up and you can, you know, move on. Now, that could be in the cities. That could be in Rochester. I know that some of the older cats, there's a spot in Duluth that they can go to as well. So there's, you know, options.
And these are basically, are these like kind of halfway houses where a bunch of guys live type of thing? Or are these more?
Well, so there's one program called Damascus Way. It's a faith-based program. They have one in Golden Valley, and they have a house in Golden Valley, and then they have one in Rochester. The one in Rochester is actually rented from the county. It used to be the old juvenile center. but they also have some apartment complexes in the cities as well. And one thing I did want to touch on, though, from a personal standpoint, beyond the systemic stuff, was also kind of the art thing as well, and kind of where, you know, my process is with that. I'll be opening up by the, hopefully by the time this cast is cast, that the our website at the Shopify will be aandrarts.com, and the and is an ampersand. I have myself, I've got about maybe 50 or so canvases. Some are scratched, some are canvas panels of various sizes. But also, there's a buddy of mine, a tattoo artist down in Texas, who's been like my best buddy for the last 20-some-odd years. We actually met here in the program. He didn't get committed. He was able to move on with his life beyond this. But we've still been in touch and all that kind of stuff. And so we'll have about 100 pieces that'll be available for, you know, sale, just to look at, you know, whatever. We're trying to work on a place where we can get some sort of print-on-demand service where, if you don't want to buy the entire, you know, painting or can't afford or whatever, hey, $20 for a print, you know, that kind of a thing.
Right.
So, yeah, trying to get my side hustle on, trying to stay stay active, motivated, creative, and things of that nature. I'm still in touch with my friend Ginny at the gallery, Semva.com in Rochester. So just talked to her this morning. She'll be sending a whole bunch of my stuff that didn't sell at the gallery down to Texas, so that gets handled.
Okay. But, so you had, so A, tell us the website again. It's A ampersand R Arts. Is that what it is?
A and R Arts.com.
Arts.com. And I'm guessing you're the A.
Yep.
Is your buddy down there the R?
Yes. Yes. Okay. His name is, well, he goes by Ruby, Charlie Ruby Tattoos. So if anybody wants to Facebook him or whatever, there he is.
Let's just say hypothetically, I know it's, you know, you say it's not likely, but let's just say Ben, you're totally free. Get the hell out of here. And let's say you fly down to Texas and meet up with Charlie. Is he going to like, is he going to sleeve you out? Are you getting like full sleeves?
No. Well, so no, not immediately. I won't be going to Texas. He's actually moving back up here.
Due to
registration issues and things of that nature. He doesn't have to do that when he comes up here. He's been off the registry for so long and the laws are what they are. He doesn't have to worry about it.
I imagine Texas doesn't, they're probably not big fans of people on the registry, huh?
Just recently, where he's at in the Fort Worth area, they expanded the 1,000 living foot radius to 2,000 feet. He's getting fed up with it. He needs to get out of there. He's moving back. So
right. So you move within like 1,500 feet of a school or something, and then they kick you out because they say now the rule has changed, basically.
Yeah.
I ate some avocado toast. I actually brought my toaster to work because I never use it at home. And and as I was eating it, I was thinking, I've never really talked to Ben about the food at St. Peter. And I just wonder, like, what's your favorite thing there? What's the good food that you eat there?
Oh, well, breakfast or dinner is always good. you know, scrambled eggs and, you know, little cinnamon toast, little rolls and some turkey sausage. I guess, you know, it is what it is. It's institutional. It's, you know, serves a purpose.
Yeah. What about, do they let you like buy, in the prisons, you have the commissary and all that. Can you buy your own stuff as well?
We do have a commissary / canteen process here where I think it's actually a contract out of Wisconsin, I believe, but you can get your basic, you know, hygiene and your, you know, preserved foods like, you know, anything you can buy on a walking horse, you can get pretty much through our canteen.
Okay.
Once a month, we can actually order from walking horse up to 140, I think it is, or something, some dollars like that. But that includes, you know, hygiene and foodstuffs and, you know, all kinds of things. Now, I make ice cream from time to time. It's an expensive process, but it's worth it. You know, buy some powdered Dream Whip, Cool Whip type stuff, and then some condensed milk. And that's pretty much your main ingredients. Anything from there, you just go ahead and add a little bit of water to, you know, sure it crystallizes when you freeze it. But you can add your chocolate, you can add chocolate chips, you can add, you know, fruit if you want to, cinnamon, coffee, you know, whatever suits your fancy. Just, you know, and then freeze it and you got ice cream.
You're speaking, you're speaking my language here, Ben. Man, that's like my one weakness in life is ice cream. And, I'm trying to do this diet now, which sucks, but I get that whole, you know, half gallon or whatever it is now and eat the whole damn thing on the sofa. And, you know, sometimes I'd get like 99% of the half gallon, there'd be one bite left and I think, oh, I better be healthy and I'll put that away for tomorrow. It's like one spoon. But so can you actually use a freezer? 'Cause we used to try to make ice cream, but we'd have to have like gallons of salt to make the stuff freeze because we had no freezer.
That's really good if you want to go ahead and, you know, freeze a soda pop in your sink type of thing. But we don't have wet cells down here where I'm at. So, you know, we do have a refrigerator and a freezer, you know, a common refrigerator and freezer.
Oh, nice.
There's two of them on the unit. So we kind of share that. So like when we do gardening in the summer and, you know, pull everything out in the fall, you know, we'll chop up our onions or tomatoes or whatever and go ahead, peppers, and go ahead and throw them in the freezer in a Ziploc bag. And then we'll use them throughout. So, yeah, throw them in your chilies or your soups or your whatever. Works out well.
That sounds so good. We'd get in trouble because we'd basically steal a bunch of salt from the chow hall. And then the guys would, like, reuse the salt, right? So it would get really wet. It would turn into salt water when it would freeze. And then they would microwave the salt water. And this would take, like, hours. And it would destroy the microwave, right? So they'd get their salt back. But then nobody else could make their ramens anymore. So they'd always get, you can't microwave salt. So it's a freezer would have been amazing.
Yeah.
What's your favorite flavor?
Right.
Like, what's your ice cream flavor of choice?
Well, I tell you what, I'm a big fan of cinnamon in general.
Okay.
So anything I can put cinnamon in with either, you know, caramel or coffee or chocolate or, you know, just those warm flavors, those warm, comforting flavors. I really like those. Yeah.
That's
a little
amazing.
Nutmeg, maybe. I mean, we can't get nutmeg, but you know, we can get ginger.
Yeah,
that works.
Yeah.
I'm
trying to think of
that. It goes a long way.
Trying to think of how we could name it so it fits in. Like call it like St. Paul cinnamon or something. So it's sort of you know, the sound. I don't know how we do that.
Well, St. Peter cinnamon.
St. Peter cinnamon. Yeah, that's even better. And I was thinking like Minneapolis mudslide. I'm just thinking of Minnesota. I know like two cities in Minnesota, so those are the two. ANRArts.com, I wanted to get back to that because so you've got a profile on penpals.buzz, and we just made it a little better where people can see a lot of your artwork without having to scroll for 15 minutes. And now you can kind of just like move your finger left and swipe back and forth almost like you're on Tinder, and you can swipe right or left, and you can see different artwork of Ben Alverson. And I know you only have a small percentage of your total art that's up on our site, but people can get a good idea of the type of stuff you do. And then now you're going to have this ANRArts.com, which is, I'm guessing, going to have pretty much everything, right?
It'll have what's available. I'm not going to put anything up there that's not, unless I have something that, you know, might have been sold, and we'll go ahead and put a little banner on there that says sold so people kind of see that, oh, he did that, and that kind of took off. Like, okay, that's cool.
Okay.
But art is so subjective, too. You know, I'm not expecting every Tom, Dick, and Harry, Sue, Mary, you know, Mary Jo to go ahead and be like, oh, I love everything. No. If it strikes you, it strikes an emotional chord, great. That's awesome. And it doesn't have to be everything on there. If it's, you know, a color that strikes you, it's a pattern, it's a shape, it's just a theme. That's what I'm shooting for. You know, something that just resonates with somebody that says, hey, you know what? I can relate to that, or that, you know, is attractive to me.
I'm thinking I might want to put, now that we've talked about ice cream, and I'm thinking like an ice cream painting would be amazing. Like I can put in, maybe I'll do a special order for like a Rocky Road container, right? I can I'll have to pay you extra because I know that's hard. I know that's probably really hard.
Well, I can work on commission. That's
right.
Actually kind of, you know, that's where the good stuff is at. There is one that I did. I think it's actually on the Buzz site. It's a coffee cup. And I actually did integrate actual coffee into the brown paint that where the coffee is layered on the in the cup where it's
tilted.
You can see where the coffee's at. It came out real nice.
That's so cool. You do like a little scratch and sniff on there, and I'm like, oh my God, this is real coffee.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, it'll age out after a while. It has to be, like I say, it has to be refreshed. But I have no problem maintaining that kind of stuff if it does. It was just an experiment to see if it worked. And of course, it worked. And then people are like, oh, well, you should do like, you know, peppermint, or you should do like hot cocoa. Or I'm like, well, we could do that. I could do that.
Yeah, so, it's like an interactive experience with food and art.
My original title for, you know, a business, if I wanted to get to it years ago, was called Interactive Arts. And it would just encompass everything. And when I was doing, you know, greeting cards or whenever, it was the small imprint, it was called Feta Fantasies. So, revolves around food, right?
Yeah. That sounds kind of dirty, though. Feta Fantasy. That sounds like,
yeah,
I'm afraid to walk down that alley.
It's a little weird.
Man, so Ben Alverson, give out your address again. I know I still want people to write you. I know you've had at least a couple people reach out to you from our site, but we're trying to get more.
Yeah.
More than a couple.
Yeah, yeah. 100 Freeman Drive, St. Peter, Minnesota, 56082. And you know, my phone number is, there's the other thing too, is call me 507-484-9930, extension 53824. I've gotten a couple of calls from people, and that's fine. You know, call them right back, but I'd still get their, you know, addresses and, you know, mail you. I'd love, you know, anybody who writes me, I'll send a personalized card. I've done that just kind of, you know.
You sent us a few cards, and we still have them in the office in the entryway, and we have your painting that you sent. This was like years ago, yeah, and it was all framed and everything. Yeah. We were like, oh my God. I was actually, I probably talked about this before, but I was nervous opening it because you had it wrapped so exquisitely, and there was like the little sticky paint. I was like, oh my God, am I going to like rip the paint off when I'm peeling this? That it came out, but I was nervous, man.
The medium was a little, it took a little longer to dry than I really was expecting, but it worked out well. So, yeah.
So the phone number, it's 507-484-9930, and you enter extension 53824, and then you'll have 15 seconds to leave a message for Ben Alverson. And to tell you how fast that is, I'm going to give you a little example here. Hey, Ben, this is Steve. I was just calling to say hi. I hope you're doing well. Can you please give me a call back? The number is 888-273-6725. I hope to hear from you soon. Thank you.
Boom. There you go.
So practice at home too. Because, you know, the worst thing is when they say, hey, Ben, call me back. My number is 888-27. Click.
Yeah. Yeah, the other part of it is, too, is that, you know, we do have the caller ID thing. Oh, we can check, you know, where the call is coming from, and it has the date and time and all that kind of stuff on there. So if it does happen to get cut short, I'll call back. But, you know, leaving a number and probably the best time to call would be the best way to do it. So
Here's what I want. Here's what I want people to do if they're listening right now. So you don't even need to leave your number because Ben's going to see your number. So anyone, the first person that hears this, I don't know, but somebody's going to do this, Ben, I know, because we have... You know, so many listeners right now. Somebody, I want you to call Ben, and instead of actually leaving a message, I want you to sing your favorite Beach Boys song in 15 seconds.
Oh, boy. Oh, or Prince.
Or Prince.
So it is a Prince thing.
Or
so,
Prince.
You know, yeah.
When Doves Cry. I want you to sing When Doves Cry to Ben Alverson in 15 seconds. Again, 507-484-9930, and you hit extension 53824. And it's going to say something about there's a, you know, enter the client extension and then boom.
That's the one.
And then you do all call that back too. I can vouch that you'll call everybody back.
Oh yeah. I never call collect. We got our calls set up here to where both the prison and us, because we're on the same contract for whatever freaking reason. The Senate has given us free phone calls for the last couple of years. So. It's don't worry about it. That's and that great. Includes international.
Just oh, saying. No way. Oh,
I have
wow.
reached out across overseas. And, oh, man. Yep, that has been done.
Oh, man.
So there you go.
There's a lot of, we have a lot. Yep. We actually were like the number 11 podcast for entertainment for 1 week in New Zealand. I got this report. I was like, we're trending in New Zealand. So anyone, you know, out there in Auckland or whatever,
I love learning about world events and connecting with people overseas, especially with so much that's going on right now. I actually tried to reach out to Russia at one point in time because we don't hear the other side of the story.
Right? Yeah.
And there was somebody who wrote me from over there. I connected actually through a New Zealand.
You have 1 minute remaining.
Yeah, New Zealand pen pal list, and you know, reached out, and then
was that,
you know,
Bobbles? Wrote me back, I remember Bobbles.
It was. Yes. It was. Yes, it was. Yes.
Robert something.
And
that was
a
cool
painting as well.
Oh, man. I remember that.
I also sent him a painting, and I think it's a picture that you have on there. It's a top hat with a kiwi on the side.
Oh, yeah. That's a great one.
A paint squeeze. Yeah.
Yeah. So
that's
Ben,
the one I sent to him.
We're out of time. I hear the 1 minute thing. Ben Alverson, go to penpals.buzz and search for Ben Alverson, or you can go to anrarts.com. That's anrarts.com and check out your stuff that's for sale. And please get back to us and let us know if things go well on the 5th. We'll be rooting for you.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you, sir.
All right, listen up, everybody.
It's lockdown time for Big Steve.
Let's go!
But he'll be back soon on another episode of the Prison Pen Pal Podcast. You want to get in touch? Email the podcast at penpals.buzz.
.buzz. If you'd like to make a call,
call 888-273-6725. Or write to P.O. Box 456, Anderson, California, 96007.